Hello and welcome to Creativize, Strategize, and Synergize, a podcast about the business side of being a creative. My name is Chris Scott.
My name is Atish, and in this week's episode, we give you a stepwise list on how to really put yourself out there, how to be bold.
How to acknowledge the best and discard the rest. So tell me again why you got tased at work.
Okay. Well, basically, the reason why I got tased at work was because it's almost like bragging rights. You know what I mean? It's called a voluntary exposure. You don't have to, but, you know, like, for instance, I'm working on my team with a guy who is in the military currently. Like, he's actually going to go deploy soon. So I kind of did it just for, like, bragging rights, and you get, like, you know, I volunteered to go first, so I got a, like, special coin for it and shit like that. It's really just for bragging rights and, like, for knowledge about how the product works.
Does that coin work at a special vending machine?
No, but I heard a rumor about it, which I'm not sure is true, but somebody told me that because cops get trained on how to use a taser as well. They go through, like, our master instructor school, right?
Right.
So, but the thing is that not everybody gets that coin. Like, people who volunteer to get tased first get that coin.
Okay.
So all the cops want the coin because, and this is where it all becomes rumors, right? I'm not sure if any of this is true, but supposedly cops go to bars, like, together on their days off or, you know, whatever, and then if anyone has that coin, they flip the coin to see who pays the tab.
Oh.
So it's kind of a way to, like, default to getting out of paying.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. So what I heard was if you have that coin and you get, like, pulled over for speeding or something like that, you can, like, use that as leverage, like, trade it in to get out of a ticket.
That doesn't sound real. That doesn't sound real at all.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
We got to ask, what's his name?
Isaac.
Friend of the podcast. Isaac, please tweet at us if that's true or not.
Yeah, if any cops are listening or if Isaac's listening.
Still, that'd be amazing if he still was.
Yes. Yeah, for real. Isaac, our number one fan, if you are still listening, you know, give me a shout on Twitter or something like that and let me know if that's actually a thing. But he's still in his first year, so I'm sure he wouldn't be the type of cop who would take a bribe of a coin to get out of a ticket.
Well, no, not the first year, but...
Right.
I guess we should ask him the second year.
Yeah.
The year when they all go dirty.
Yeah, when everyone goes dirty, when you become a cop. Like, did you see The Shape of Water?
I did.
Did I ask you this last week?
I don't know. I think we talked about it last week.
I don't know. I really liked it.
Me too.
But yeah, I think in year two, people like cops become like that guy. What is his name?
Michael Shannon.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in year two, cops become like that.
Just all grumpy and angry?
Yeah, well, doesn't Michael Shannon always kind of play the same character?
Yeah, he's always yelling. He's always mad.
Dude, and he's always such a crazy person. Like, I remember I saw Premium Rush.
Okay.
And he's kind of the same character in that he is in the Shape of Water.
Definitely. I think when Man of Steel came out, he did a Funny or Die video where he reads, like, sorority girls' poetry.
Yeah, I saw that.
Really angry,
or it was like a internal email to all of them about, like, how they were getting too shit faced or, like, how they weren't representing their sorority well or something. But it was like, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm gonna watch that after we're done podcasting.
We're gonna put that in the show notes.
Yeah, perfect. Throw it in the show notes. But yeah, if anyone, because a lot of people have been asking me how getting or, like, what getting tased feels like. The number one answer that comes to mind is not good. Like, not good at all. I tried my best. I was going to try and, like, say something as I was getting tased. And it's just impossible. Like, it did not work out for me. Instead, I just made this weird grunting noise.
I heard.
Yeah.
We'll put a link to it in the show notes. I have the video. It's too late. It's happening.
That's right.
No, we won't. We won't link that one. That's too much work.
Yeah, too much work and too much unnecessary shit, and people don't want to see me.
So you showed up to work one day, and you said, "Hey, work, a lot of people are asking me what it feels like to be tased. So then you volunteered to be tased, or was it, is this something they do on like a weekly basis?
It's not something they do that regularly, but they do, they put it on every now and then. It's called a voluntary exposure.
So everybody from the office like revolve, like lines up around this mat and people can say if they want to do it or not do it.
Yeah, exactly. And, pretty much it was like what I imagined being in the Coliseum is like, cause the office is about like four stories high and people were like lined up all the way around, like all the way up, just like watching people do it.
That sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. Or I mean, I could see how it would be, because some people, like myself, I was one of the quieter ones, but some people are just like screaming. It was crazy.
So your point of view of saying yes to this is to be like, I'm a team member. I'm a go-getter.
Right, exactly.
I want to understand this company.
Yeah, I'm a hustler. I ask questions.
Right, and find the answers.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get to the bottom of it by any means necessary.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've never done anything like that before.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, not being tased, but like volunteering to do some weird like work team building exercise. That's what it feels kind of like.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, just it's extreme. Kind of like that.
Extreme team building.
You've never gone on a trip to Topgolf with your work people?
Nope, never. Never have.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of weird to do, like, in those kind of disingenuous environments, I think team building doesn't actually happen like that. Like, I think it kind of actually has to happen in a more organic setting.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I mean, I don't really know that much about that, but I really think that the way that people grow an appreciation for who people are and how they work and blah, blah, blah is in an actual office work setting kind of way. But maybe that's also just because I don't really anticipate becoming like that good friends with any of my coworkers. I could be wrong.
Right, right. I have a friend that's like that. He's 100% dead set on not making friends at work because he wasn't a big fan of his job. But eventually he broke down and he started going to like escape rooms with them and like going to their weddings. It's like, what's going on with you, man?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. He broke down a little bit, but
he became a career guy.
But the idea of team building, I think it's like a weird concept. It's like a weird, you have to do activities to build your team up. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I sort of get the idea that it's just like if you kind of understand and appreciate each other's backgrounds and like who each other are and like how you guys work best and stuff, you may better know how to utilize resources on the team. But I don't think that happens like through doing an escape room or through Topgolf. Like, I think that happens in more of an organic sort of way.
Right.
Like, some people, like just from my immediate settings, you know, some people are better at kind of drawing things out and looking big picture. And then some people are really good at the nitty gritty, like, you know, minute sort of details. I'm perfect at work when I have two cups of coffee in me and I've got my headphones in. I haven't started doing the bulletproof coffee, but I'm probably going to soon.
Yeah. To stimulate the brain.
Well, it's a good way for me to...
And
what?
I don't know.
I mean, the way I know, like, you know, everyone, as soon as I tell them that I like bulletproof coffee and I like doing that, everyone tells me how unhealthy it is. And I'm like, guys, I know that bulletproof coffee was like slated as something to help you lose weight or something, but that's not my goal or intention at all.
I never thought of it as a weight loss thing. I thought of it as like a day-starting thing, like to jumpstart your day properly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way I use it. But a lot of people also use it for like ketosis or one of those like, you know, fads or buzzwords like that. And I guess it does work for that. But then it's also obviously high in cholesterol, or people have written so many things about how unhealthy it is. And it's like, that's not what I'm trying to use it for. In my respect, it's like it does something about the way that the caffeine interacts with fats and the way my brain is processing fats and that kind of stuff makes it actually kind of fire me up a little bit better than just a regular cup of coffee. So therefore, I actually end up drinking less caffeine because I just drink one like supercharged, you know, thing of coffee as opposed to a whole bunch of cups of coffee.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's what I use it for. I don't really use it for any other health benefits or anything like that.
So you have a really good day at work when you show up with two cups of coffee in you.
Yep.
And you have your headphones on listening to Blink 182.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
And you zoom, focus in on whatever you do. I really don't understand what you do still, but.
It's complex, but essentially I kind of wear many hats. Like that's in the job description.
Mm-hmm. That's why you're always getting haircuts.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why getting haircuts is really important to me. But essentially, you know, my best work, like I just love getting in that alpha flow state where I don't even look at the clock and I just have like a queue full of stuff that I need to do. You know what I mean? Or like a whole bunch of things I need to read through, things I need to process, things I need to, you know, send off to other departments, to whatever. Like my optimal work state is when I'm just jamming out on that. Some other people's stuff, they like to be a little bit more collaborative, or they like to, you know, have one task with a break and a break and another task and then a break and then, you know, maybe take a walk to this other department, whatever. I'm best in a different kind of regard. So I think that's the kind of thing that you figure out just from like your organic workplace. That way you know which kind of tasks to delegate to which type of people that are working on your team.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe there are reasons for team building exercises. I'm sure, you know, that's a thing. But for me, I can kind of see the value more in terms of what in the workplace kind of thing.
I think it was the movie Risky Business, maybe, that Tom Cruise movie where he runs a brothel out of his parents' house.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right. But I think there's a scene at the beginning where they're all playing cards or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the director made the guys that are being friends drive to the shooting location. It was like an 8-hour drive. And he made them all drive together out to where they were shooting the movie from California. So they would get to know each other. So by the time they're on set, they kind of were like buddies. And it felt like a genuine friendship on camera.
Oh, yeah.
So I get doing things like that to kind of get to know each other. But I think team building is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a thing where you want to be comfortable with someone and you want to know how to interact and how to speak with someone and that sort of thing. And then especially if you're trying to create the feel, like the vibe on screen that these guys are buddies, these guys are best friends, they kind of have to have that kind of, you know, feel to it.
Right. They have to have that. They have to know each other's mannerisms and tics and everything.
Yeah, exactly. To play off each other. And like, how would Tom Cruise talk to his friends? That way you can have him talk to you that way. Like you can figure out what that common ground is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for office work, it's like we don't really need to do that. Or, I mean, the fuck do I know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that was, I got tased this week and, other than that, it was just a pretty smooth work week. It's going to be kind of weird because both my direct superiors are going to be out of office this whole next week. So I'm kind of flying solo, which will be cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, like less meetings and less stuff like that. So I can kind of just do exactly what I said. Drink my bulletproof coffee, plug in my headphones, and just crush it.
Truck away. Now's your chance to show them all up.
Yeah, exactly. Go for that promotion, yada, yada, yada.
Boom.
So anyways, I think what we were talking about earlier this week was kind of how we like the idea of making more episodes that are directly actionable.
Yeah, I was thinking, like there was I think 3 episodes ago, we were talking about check out this podcast where we talk about your pitch and your marketing plan and your whatever.
Yeah.
I felt like that's a good idea to keep that rocking and rolling.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good split between having things that are just like general kind of information or, you know, like kind of universally applicable stuff, and then kind of more directed episodes that are, you know, food for thought and actual actionable steps.
For sure. So I was thinking this last weekend, I sent some emails out trying to kind of like putting myself out there, and one of them went really well and the other one didn't go that well. And so, well, it was a weird email. It was a weird email. It wasn't clear. My purpose wasn't clearly defined in it. I was trying not to ramble, but yet rambled the entire time.
Oh, that's okay. I do that all the time.
And so it was kind of like, was I ready to do that, to put myself out there like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So it might be a good idea to talk about what needs to be in place before you put yourself out there.
Yeah. I think that's a really ambiguous sort of metric, I guess you could say, because there are two factors that kind of go into that immediately. That's sort of how do you know when you're ready to do anything? And a lot of times what happens is you will kind of keep pushing things back because, or I mean, I don't know about anyone else, but I definitely know about myself. I keep myself from moving forward on projects all the time just because I think I don't have the right qualifications, or I don't have all the resources I might need, or I don't know enough or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So that's the kind of thing that will kind of keep you from moving forward and really putting yourself out there and just executing on your plan. So it's kind of complex. But I had some ideas about kind of basic, really kind of basic, and I tried to keep them as sort of vague would be the wrong word, but I guess universally applicable. That way it doesn't necessarily have only to do with, you know, creative endeavors or business endeavors or whatever it is. It could kind of be applied to anything.
Okay, okay.
So whether you're trying to enter a karate tournament, or whether you're trying to start your own small business or become an actor or something like that, you know, these are kind of the things that I think are huge for that.
All right. So let's define what it means to put it out there.
Yeah. Well, I think that this is also going to be purposefully vague. I think that really comes down to kind of going through the first steps for you to kind of get what you want. You know what I mean? Like basically no one just becomes, like, let's say you want to become Instagram famous, right?
Okay.
No one just becomes Instagram famous, or at least generally, with one picture, right? You can get one picture that would kind of gain a lot of traction, but I don't think you would, like, that's something that you have to be consistent about, and you have to, like, kind of learn the approaches and how to do that. Putting yourself out there would be the first time you decide to click the button with that intentions, you're hashtagging with everything you want to hashtag, and you're kind of making yourself out to be more famous than you actually are, or you're like linking your blog where you talk about the 12 best ways to use avocado or whatever.
Okay, okay.
But like actually doing that, because now you like know that you're going to be kind of judged by your peers or by other people, but just having kind of the stones to just do it anyways.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of like taking this idea that you've kept in this bubble forever, for as long as you've had this idea, and like finally stepping outside of that bubble and letting the entire world basically see what you're doing.
Right. Kind of taking yourself out of the vacuum
that, yeah.
Yeah, that you've created for yourself where it's all safe and actually moving forward with it.
So this last week I tried doing that because I'm trying to make this new murder mystery night and this another feature film. And it's kind of their ideas that I've had, but nobody really knows about them. But it's kind of been a whole experience to just put myself out there in a new way that I didn't do before. So before I would just do things. I want to make a feature. So I just kind of made it. I just got what I could together and we just made a movie. But now I'm trying to do it on a larger scale. So I need more support to make that happen.
Yeah. 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 It's tough to rely on, you know, other people, like, or to require other people's influence or other people's kind of perspective, or whether they appreciate your work or not, to be able to move forward with your own stuff. And so that kind of that actually brings me to my first point, which is I think the first step in kind of being able to put yourself out there is just embracing fear / embracing the suck.
Embracing the suck.
Yeah. Which is essentially it. I don't know about anyone else, but anytime I'm really like, I really care about something, or anytime I'm really putting myself out there, or I'm really trying for something and I may not get what I want. Like, for instance, when I was,
in a band,
when I was in a band, or yeah, like that, or when I'm applying for a job that I really, really want that I'm not sure I'm going to get, or something like that, I kind of get this like nervous, terrible feeling in my stomach. You know what I mean? And it's this, I just feel compelled that like, oh man, now I'm going to lose something. Like now I have something to lose. Whereas it was safer when I was just sitting on my couch.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like actually kind of being out there. I'm afraid that I'm going to, look foolish, or that I am going to fail at this, or maybe I'm going to succeed, but it'll be too much for me. Like there's a lot of sources for fear / the suck. And I think the best way that you can kind of embrace those feelings, or just the best way to conquer those feelings, or at least accept them, you don't necessarily have to go into something, you know, completely like, yeah, I'm a winner and I'm going to fucking crush it all the time and I'm going to get exactly what I want. Like not everyone, you can't force yourself to feel that way. That would almost be lying to yourself if you said you always did. Mm-hmm. But the best way to kind of just embrace the suck is to gain some sort of competency. You know what I mean? And when you gain competency, you end up gaining self-confidence. So like, for instance, the best way to approach reading or auditioning, for instance, for a role that you don't think you're going to get, you know, for some reason you just feel like, I'm not going to get this, I'm not good enough, blah, blah, blah. If you know your lines backwards and forwards, and you know exactly where you want to put all the different intonations, or if you want to do some blocking with it or something like that, I don't know. If you do that, you're going to be way better at kind of embracing that fear of failure, or fear of like not making the grade or something like that. You will kind of embrace the suck a little bit more.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And like doing your homework on things, really researching what's the product that this company makes, and you know, I'm going to go interview for this job or something like that. Who are the people who make this music? Who are the people, whatever? Like doing that homework can really kind of help in terms of embracing that suckish feeling and just going forward with it.
Okay. Okay.
So, I mean, for me, that's, I always want to make sure that I feel like I'm coming in at least a little prepared.
Right.
So in terms of, you know, putting it out there for your like, oh, I'm trying to make these movies, I'm trying to, you know, whatever, the exact things that you were kind of doing at that time, you were looking into like, okay, how do people get movies produced? How do people ask for money? Like, in one of the letters you sent me, you were asking someone else for advice.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That's kind of just embracing that fear where you're making yourself do something that you're uncomfortable with, but you're trying to be as prepared as possible.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, that's just a system that kind of helps mitigate those feelings, because if you let that kind of suck or that fear kind of take over everything you're doing, you're never like, there are so many things that I never even tried out for, or I never even did, just because I wasn't willing to embrace that feeling.
Uh-huh.
Like just accept it as part of this process, and just, you know, decide that you're going to press forward.
Right. It's about not expecting the first time you do it to be the success story.
Right.
It's going to take a lot of trial and error to get to the point where you think, what you see in your head.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kind of like making a pancake.
Making a pancake?
Making pancakes. You ever make pancakes before?
Yeah.
So, what happens to that very first pancake you ever make?
It's generally pretty shitty.
Yeah, it's like an amoeba, and it's burnt on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens on the second one? It's a little bit better.
Yeah.
And then the third one comes out, and it's like, it's fine. And then the fourth one's really good. And that's the one you keep for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And you give the other two to the other person.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you're having breakfast with someone else so you can give them your shit pancakes.
Exactly. But it takes trial. It takes trial and error. It takes doing something to become successful at it. And that fear of failing and that fear of not being successful, I think, is what's hard. It's not that you're afraid of failure. You're just it's just like this unknown space of what does it take to get to where I want to go.
Yeah.
So that's like a big fear to also accomplish, overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Conquer. That's actually my second bullet point is, segued right into it. It's beautiful. Making a stepwise plan. I think, that's something that throughout the, I don't know, how long have we been podcasting now?
23 episodes,
but we were talking about podcasting long before that.
Right, right.
So I think that that's something that we've realized is super, super important, is having kind of a stepwise plan and, you know, kind of like, it doesn't have to be concrete nor foolproof nor like the most filled out thing you've ever seen. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's where people get bogged down, is that they're like, oh, well, I don't have all the gaps filled out and I don't have all the details and, you know, whatever, so I'm just not going to do anything. But it doesn't necessarily have to be like that. But I think you can't really, like, okay, so this is my beef with The Secret.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Have you been dwelling on this the entire week because I told you that you live The Secret, but you're not accepting it?
Right. Was that last week that you were telling me about The Secret?
Yeah. I tell you about it every week because you manifest your job.
Right. Okay, but here's the difference. The Secret talks about, and... I'll actually have to take a step back and acknowledge that I've never actually read The Secret.
Right. Neither have I.
Okay. But we're going off of our judgments and off of reviews. I watched a 20-minute YouTube video on The Secret, so I figure that's close enough.
I think that's all you need to watch to understand it.
Right. Yeah. Essentially, what The Secret is saying is that if you know, like, you kind of know what you want, and you put it up on your vision board, and then you start doing, like, then you start to just envision it and, you know, kind of request it from the universe, it will manifest itself.
Okay.
Here's the thing with that. There's an unspoken step that they're not acknowledging in The Secret, and again, you know, listeners, correct me if I'm incorrect, but the reason why so many people are seeing success out of The Secret is out of things that they are not saying or is not part of their process, but is intrinsically in there, which makes it supremely obvious, which is that essentially people, it's not about the vision board or manifesting, it's that people create a map for themselves. You know what I mean? If I want to, my goal is I want to go to Dallas, right? For whatever reason. I want to go to Dallas.
To go to the armadillo races.
Right. Is that a thing?
Yeah. You can race armadillos in Fort Worth.
What?
At the stockyards, yeah.
Oh, my God. All right.
You know that crazy couple that had like 13 kids locked up in their house?
Is that the... Oh, wasn't that 18 and counting or 19 and counting or something? That's so no, not them.
No, it's like a legit news story. It wasn't a reality show.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
They one of their photos they did on the rotation for their all the news stories is the two of them on this giant bull, and they're like riding this bull, and that happens at the stockyards in Fort Worth, and I've been on that bull.
Wow.
I have a picture on that bull. So you're going to Dallas to ride those, to race the armadillos and
race the armadillos. Yeah. I'm going to Dallas.
Ride that taxidermied bull. That's so bizarre experience.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. But yeah, so I want to go to Dallas. I figure out how people go to Dallas or how you get to Dallas. And then I execute the steps necessary to go to Dallas. I fill my car up with gas.
Right.
Get on the highway. I drive east. I, you know, whatever. Like, that's how it procedurally gets done. But The Secret doesn't acknowledge that. They say that, like, oh, so it allows space for people to kind of get fooled into thinking that, like, oh, okay, I can just like envision this and really want it, and then it'll manifest itself as I do positive thinking. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of true, but the part that you're leaving out is that when you do research and when you think about it and when you read about it and when you do whatever, you figure out the steps on how to do it. And that's the important part. Like, that's not a secret. That's a map.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So that's my problem with the secret. And that's why
the thing that I think you're leaving out is that if you don't put Dallas on the map as your endpoint, you're just driving all over the place, not going anywhere.
Right. I mean, yeah. So that's the important part that the secret delivers is that, you know,
or you're just stuck at home because you're not traveling anywhere because I have no dots on the map to go to. I don't know what I want to do.
Right.
So what do? You just stay at home.
Yeah. I mean, that's the important part that the secret does deliver on, which is figuring out what your goals are, like figuring out what you want.
It's kind of like when you want to make pancakes for breakfast.
Oh my God.
And you don't have any of the ingredients, but you know you want to make pancakes, right? So
right.
I'm going to throw pancakes up on my vision board, but I know I need to look up the recipe. I need to go to the grocery store, get the ingredients, and then come home, put those ingredients together in a certain way till bam, that fourth pancake is perfect.
Yeah, that's stepwise plan building, but they don't talk about that.
Well, no, I mean, well, the idea is not to be a negative, gloomy Gus.
Yeah, the whole idea that they propagate is that, you know, you need to believe, and you need to, like, if you want pancakes, you need to believe that you can do it, and it will manifest itself. And it's like, yes, that is a core part, because unless you realize what you want and that you're like a positive person and that you're an agent of change and you can make this happen, yeah, it probably won't happen. But without the idea that, okay, I need to go to the grocery store, I need to get all the ingredients, I need to come back home, I need to put this flour with the milk and yada, 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 and I need to turn my oven on. Like, without the stepwise instructions, it's all meaningless. So, I mean, I think they're both important parts. They're both core parts, but one of them, like, you can't have one without the other. You have to have them both.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
But unless you manifest your vision, you're not going to get there.
Right. Yeah. So basically you have to, it's critical that not only do you figure out what you want to do or, you know, what you're trying to achieve by putting yourself out there in this case, but you also need to make a plan on how you're going to do it.
Right.
And, you know, that is enforced by, you know, step one, which is gaining competency to gain self-confidence. Like, doing the background research, figuring out how people do it, figuring out how you want to do it, what works best for you, what are your strengths versus your weaknesses, blah, 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 that sort of thing. Then you can cater your plan to get to where you want to go or what you're trying to achieve by putting yourself out there specifically to you.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't wander aimlessly and expect to get anything done. If you set small and measurable goals for yourself and come out the gate just doing each of those things, you're going to gain a whole lot of self-confidence and you're going to, you know, kind of keep yourself on the track of, you know, what do I want to achieve by putting myself out there and how am I going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Which it's actually kind of great that we've been talking about positivity and manifestation and stuff like that, because that, I think that's a huge part, which is my next kind of thing, which is self-talk. Do you do any positive self-talk?
No.
No?
No, why would I? What am I going to tell myself that I don't already know?
Well, I mean, this is something that I have only recently started doing, like as in the past 3 months or something like that, because I've never been that kind of person. Like, I've always been the kind of negative person who thinks that, you know, oh, like, this isn't, you know, you can have all the positive self-talk and all that kind of stuff, but you're kind of deluding yourself. Like, the world really only runs on one engine and you have to either fit into that or you don't, or, you know, whatever, here's what successful people are like. And if you don't fit into these exact metrics, if you're not smart enough, blah, 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 then it just doesn't work out. But we're shown time and time again that that's not exactly really true. And I think kind of having that negative like perspective actually ends up harming you, because you think that you can't achieve anything, so why even try?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you obviously have some kind of positive interior monologue, because otherwise why would you risk like you know, like you're even in more of a dangerous kind of position than I am because you're making movies and hopefully people are going to watch them. And, you know, you're writing scripts and getting people to act in them and blah, blah, blah. Like you kind of have to have that, those thoughts at least a little bit, because otherwise I can't see what would make you write scripts and have people read them. You know what I mean? The
right.
danger of like having people not like your stuff. I mean, shit, why would you ever do that?
I know, it's the worst.
Yeah, it's definitely very scary and very
No, it's the whole not focusing on the scary part. It's focusing on the reason why you're doing it. And it's not for them, it's for me and my experience writing something. And then you need to share it with someone to complete that circle.
Right. What was it that you were kind of saying, like that was your thought, but Sarah put it perfectly. Like,
oh,
what was
Sarah? Sarah Jackson, friend of the podcast, that she said, "Your art is not complete without an audience."
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Because I think you mentioned that a couple times after that.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's kind of the self-talk that I think is really important. Like, it's not like delusional bullshit, you know what I mean? But it's kind of a mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember sort of thinking about this when, like I'm remembering all the kind of tough experiences that I've ever had, or not ever had, but kind of the more tough, experiences I've had. And I kind of remember during those times, like the reason why I can continue to put out when other people can't is because I have kind of this interior monologue going on, and it kind of changes from time to time. Like for instance, a perfect example is, and people can look this up, Jocko Willink, you know, that guy, I read all his books, love his shit. He's, ex-Navy SEAL, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, just all around bad dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has this bit on his podcast where he was talking about how when he was in Ramadi and stuff like that, all of his junior officers would come to him and they would be talking about all these problems that they had. And he would always say the same thing. He would say, good. And eventually the, you know, junior officers would be like, you know, I already know what you're going to say. And he's like, what's that? And they were like, good. And it's because the way he would kind of work with things is like, okay, we didn't get all the high speed, you know, tech gear we needed. We wanted for this mission. Good. We're going to show them we can do it with less. This mission that we, you know, thought was really critical just got canceled. Didn't get approved. Good. We're going to have more time to prepare. Like just kind of that sort of thing. And he frames things, like, no matter what's happening, he frames things in kind of a positive way, or looking on the bright side, so to speak, in a way such that, you know, he has an actionable step to work on forward, or like to keep moving forward with his thing. And I mean, that obviously, like, that requires a real kind of discipline. But I think we all kind of, or maybe not we all, I don't want to generalize like that, but definitely myself, I end up doing that kind of positive self-talk. Like, for instance, you know, when I was getting tased, that's an immeasurable amount of pain, like right from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? But the way that you do it is like, well, it's almost over. It's almost over. It's almost over. It's almost over. Like, I know I can last. It's almost over. And I'm going to be just fine at the end of it. It's almost over. And just like consistently having that kind of like internal message to yourself really can kind of push you forward through some of the greatest adversity. So I kind of think that's critical to putting yourself out there, because there are going to be times when you're not going to get the great reviews that you were really hoping to get. There are going to be times when, you know, it's just not working out.
Uh-huh.
But if you have kind of that strength in yourself to keep yourself running, and I think that that kind of stems from that positive self-talk.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like taking like a minimalist point of view, maybe.
Hmm.
It's that whole, I can't do this because I don't have this. Well, no,
right.
I can do this even with what I don't have.
Right.
I can't make a movie unless I have a $90,000 camera and $100,000 lenses to go with it. It's like,
yeah.
No, I can make a movie with my iPhone. We've all seen Tangerine. Maybe not.
What's Tangerine?
Tangerine was like a Sundance movie 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And it was a movie about some trannies. and Donut Time in Hollywood, and it was all shot on an iPhone 6.
Damn.
Entire movie. Well,
I mean, I'm pretty sure, minus like some of the special effects, I'm pretty sure like big studio movies, even like Paranormal Activity, you could have filmed that on an iPhone.
Right. Well, but that's that whole thing of, oh, I can't do it because I don't have this.
Right.
You know, I met with an artist the other day, and he was like, our lights are cheapy lights from Home Depot, but we make it work because that's what we have. It's like, yeah, you just make it work. And if you have that attitude of, I can make what I have work to accomplish what I want, I think that's not a lot of people have that mindset. That's what your power talk is.
Yeah.
It's that I can do it no matter what. It's not, I can't do it because I don't have this. It's I can do this because I want to do it and I'll figure it out.
Yeah. Wow. Power talk. That's
power
I think that's our bumper right there. Uh-oh. Like, that's so much better than, you know, positive self-talk. Like, that sounds like something you would get from, you know, some like 50-year-old lady who's writing a book. Power talk sounds like something that belongs on this podcast.
On your half of the podcast.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that
but no, but self, but applying that to putting yourself out there, it would be, someone's going to ask me, I'm asking someone, let's say, for $30,000 to make a movie.
Right.
And they're like, what can you do with $30,000? I'm not going to list all the things I can't do or assume that's what they're asking. The whole, well, how can you make a movie with only $30,000?
Yeah. No,
it's like, well, I can do it this way because I can do this and I can do this and I have this, I have access to this. So it totally makes sense for me to make this type of movie at this budget.
Right.
And so you can have those answers prepared and ready to rock and roll because you have that positive talk, power talk.
Yeah, right, exactly. There. It kind of it moves you forward on that stepwise plan just by like kind of allowing yourself to really believe that you can accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really huge. I think a lot of us don't even realize that that's what we're doing. Like, I mean, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but I know that that's what's going on. You know what I mean? You believe in your craft so much and you believe in sharing it so much and about your audience that you know people are going to like it and you know that, you know, you can do this, and that's what kind of keeps you trucking along. And even in, you know, like you said, one of the letters went well, one of the letters didn't go well, but I know you're going to try again because you have that kind of positive mental self-talk,
right?
Power talk.
Definitely power talk. Extreme power talk. What's number four on your list?
Number four is prioritize and execute.
Prioritize and execute.
Yeah, and you know, again, this might be a little bit more stylistic preference. Some people love to have a million things going on all at the same time. I work best when I have a million things, but I figure out what I'm going to do first, what I'm going to do second, what I'm going to do third, what mm-hmm. I'm going to do fourth. You know what I mean? Like, in making a movie, for instance, there's like how much stuff do you have on your plate right now? You have finalizing scripts, editing, casting. You need to schedule days that they can all come rehearse together or do something like that.
Right.
Set, like, either finding sets or building sets, getting the crew together, getting all the equipment together. Like, there's a million things you need to do, right?
Uh-huh.
But you're never going to, like, for instance, well, for some of the equipment, we need more money. So what do we need for more money? Well, we need to get investors. Well, how are we going to attract investors? We need to make proof of concepts. We need to do stuff. Like, kind of in the process of what you're doing, you're kind of building out a stepwise function on how this works. You're prioritizing items,
uh-huh.
right? Like, you knew that you couldn't get a cast without a script.
Right.
So you wrote a script first.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then you saw that, like, well, it's going to be kind of hard to generate money out of people if they, you know, they're going to be more likely to give money or to, you know, donate time or to, you know, whatever you need if you have something to show them, if you have some kind of concept work or something like that. So then you started working on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's huge. I think that kind of, that kind of ability to pare down things into, you know, a stepwise function is kind of like it keeps you on track almost. It keeps you kind of pushing forward. It's like when you're running, it kind of sets a momentum, like when you're working out or when you're running or doing something, some kind of motion like that. If you stop or if you slow down, it's so much harder to start going again. Like, right, for instance, right. if you're cycling, you know what I mean? Your legs are burning. But if you stop pedaling for a second and take a break, trying to start pedaling again is fucking difficult.
You know what I mean? It's the worst.
But if you consistently keep yourself moving forward and you keep kind of just checking things off and working towards something and checking things off in the next one and the next one and the next one, then you kind of keep that momentum running.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, how many times, I know I definitely have had projects that I want to do or whatever, and I'm making good headway, but then something becomes difficult or something becomes, you know, whatever, or maybe I don't know what the next step is, and then I stop. And once I've stopped, you know, it's, I don't pick it back up again. So I think it's really critical to kind of figure out, at least in a general sense, kind of a priority list, like mm-hmm. how these things break out into, you know, what do I need to accomplish first, second, third, et cetera, to keep it moving, and then just keep moving, like keep executing on it.
Right. It sounds like you're talking about building some tools to use towards accomplishing the goal.
I mean, essentially.
Because it sounds, because I think part of putting yourself out there, you need a whole, you kind of need some, an arsenal of things to kind of support your ideas and thoughts that you're sharing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So you can't really be like, I'm going to make a movie tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I can't go to an investor and say, hey, I want to make a movie. And yeah. they're like, oh, what are you making? I don't know. what's it about? Who's in it? Do you have any actors? Do you have anything? I'm like, nope, I got nothing, but I want to make a movie.
Yeah.
And I feel good about it. So you kind of need to build up some tools to say, hey, I know what I'm talking about. Like I do, this is what I believe it will be. This is how much work I've already put into it even before actually working on the project, which right. I think is an important bag of tricks to have. Cause I felt like I was a little unprepared with the second email that didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't really know what I was doing and I wish I had a little bit more planned out for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, kind of figuring out all the resources you need is difficult, but I mean, now I'm going back to your goddamn pancakes example. I mean, sometimes you need to kind of fail at something. Like, I mean, I think that's what we call failing forward, right?
Right.
Like sometimes you kind of need to see how something doesn't work. So now your next one's going to be way better.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like you saw how, oh, I wasn't really prepared for this email because I didn't know how to respond to the questions that they raised or the feedback or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now you know how to do the next one better. You know what I mean? So you're kind of, you figured out your priorities in a row and then you figured out you were off step on something. So now what you're going to do is reassess like your priority list and then execute on them. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that's just how you kind of like, nothing is going to be, or very rarely are things a great success right out of the gate.
Right. Same thing with putting yourself out there. The first time you tell someone your idea, it's going to be weird. It's going to be sloppy.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. And you know, I mean, how many people are used to having friends who say like, oh, I'm going to be like an actor or I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to make music. I want to be a DJ. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like we all have a million friends who do that. But the way that you separate yourself out of the pack of people like that is to really just kind of get down to it, figure out kind of stepwise what the tools you need, what you need to build up, how the system kind of works, try it, fail at it, but then keep trying at it. Like don't stop.
Definitely. Definitely.
Which is, you know, that's some more positive self-talk. Don't stop. Don't quit. I've got this. You know, that kind of shit.
Is that your new mixtape that you're dropping soon?
I should. I mean, that was the whole thing, which was weird. A lot of people, just because I constantly say weird shit like that, a lot of people told me to write a book. But then I realized that book would be super weird because all for a myriad of reasons.
Right, right.
But it's like it's because it's so much of it is just all this like personal based positive self-talk. And it's like, I can't guarantee that that means anything to anyone except for myself.
Right.
But I guess, but what I am pushing forward is the idea that that is important.
Because, positive self-talk.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Dropping mixtapes and writing books.
Yeah, because I think as we talked about last episode, or maybe it was the one before that, like I got into a real serious negative funk when I wasn't getting what I wanted. But then now that I've realized that it's all coming kind of full circle, and that I've realized that everything, like things that I thought that I wasted my time on, or that I was, you know, building skills that I never pushed forward to fruition, now that I'm realizing that all these things kind of come together, it's giving me kind of the positive self-talk and the idea that, you know, I already know I don't want to stay at this company for, you know, 30 years. Like, I know I don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
But it's giving me the confidence that the things that I'm doing here, the things that I'm doing right now, from the small picture stuff to the big picture stuff, is going to be important, and I'm going to, like, it's all going to tie together.
Yeah, man, it's going to manifest to your vision board.
Yeah, sure. Sure, it's going to manifest to my vision board.
Stop fighting it, man. Just stop fighting it.
I'm going to make perfect pancakes.
You're living the secret.
No. I'm not living the secret.
What's your fifth step in this, putting yourself out there?
The fifth and final step to putting yourself out there culminates on all of the previous ones. So embracing the suck, making a stepwise plan, self-talk, prioritize and execute. The last one is get some / bust them, depending on what you want to say.
Get some / bust M, like a
apostrophe
like EM. All right.
Like bust them if you must.
But I shall.
And by that, I basically mean that it's, you know, all these things, what these things are basically doing, all the previous four steps are essentially meant to build yourself, like to culminate and build to a point where you are going to put your best foot forward, and just to quote the great Shia LaBeouf,
just do it.
Just do it. Exactly. You're just going to do it. And
have I told you my Shia LaBeouf Starbucks story?
No.
Yeah, I was sitting in a Starbucks waiting for my iPad to get fixed.
Uh-huh.
This was in California. And I was just sitting in a chair, and Shia LaBeouf walked in, and he orders his drinks.
And what did he order?
I don't know. I was sitting in the I was like, oh, that's Shia LaBeouf. That's weird. And then everybody around me was like, oh my God, that's Shia LaBeouf. And they were like, everybody was trying to like freak out outside about it. But you could tell He just wanted to rush in and rush out, because it seems like everywhere he goes, people are touching him.
Yeah.
Like as he was walking.
Especially recently, he's been like harassed by all the internet trolls and shit like that.
Yeah, well, this was like 3 years ago when he was like first going super crazy.
Did he have a rat tail at that time or no?
I think so. He might have had a rat tail. But I just remember as he was walking out, he said the words, because when we work together, it's like explosions in the sky. And then he walked outside, and then somebody said, somebody started like touching him and like walking with him, like putting their arm around him and walking with him. And I was like, it was such a bizarre thing to see.
Wait, so it goes like this. Let me break this down. You're sitting at a Starbucks.
Waiting for my iPad to get fixed, yeah.
Waiting for your iPad to get fixed at the Apple store, ostensibly. And
no.
No, not
that was my first mistake.
Oh, you went to some like ghetto discount place.
Yeah, I was like, we'll fix your cracked screen for $30. Yep.
And in walks Shia LaBeouf.
Yep.
And he may or may not have a rat tail. Who knows? The human memory is quite fallible.
Yes.
He goes up and orders his drinks. You're getting the vibe that he just wants to scoot in and out of there. So he starts leaving with his drinks, and he says...
to his friend that he was with.
Uh-huh.
When we work
together...
Uh-huh.
It's like explosions in the sky.
Exactly.
And then he leaves, and some other person starts putting their hand around him and walking with him.
Yeah.
Wow. That is definitely bizarre. That's like a slice of life that...
Every time I go to that Starbucks, I see a celebrity.
Really?
And that was the most bizarre experience. That was weirder than the day I got the "What's up" nod from Tim Allen.
Oh my God. I think we should just do a podcast episode or maybe a mini bonus episode of all your weird, because you just have like weird, like when you met Ben McKenzie at a farmer's market.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it's like you only have weird experiences with famous people.
Although one time I met Kevin Sorbo. I don't think you know who Kevin Sorbo is, but he was Hercules.
No, I do. Disappointed.
Yeah, I met him at a weird thing. He was just got off the golf course. That was a weird one too.
I would just find it weird that I would meet that person at all.
I don't know. It was a weird party. That's where I met Marsha Gay Harden and Molly Ringwald was there.
Okay, I don't know who Marsha, whoever the fuck that is.
Oh, she's an Oscar winner. If you're probably older, you probably know who she is. She was in Pollock. No. She just won the Oscar for the movie Pollock.
Is that about the painter?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, you just do it. You get some. You rake them? What do you say? Bust them?
Yeah, you get some or you bust them.
Did I say rake them?
Yeah, you said rake them, but...
All right, that's... nobody rake them unless you have a dog.
Yeah, you can clean rake up after them. I mean, I think that's just... It's, again, that goes back to the positive self-talk, but what it comes down to is all these kind of things end up culminating and should give you the self-confidence, but then there has to be that final step. And we've talked about it on this podcast an immeasurable amount of times because it's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to fucking do it. You just have to like have the self-confidence and the self-belief that maybe this won't be an irredeemable pile of shit. And maybe for once, you know, life isn't going to step on you or just not appreciate what you're doing. Or maybe your hard work will pay off, and it will, but you have to really just try, like give it an honest try. If you go in with one foot out, it's never, ever going to work.
Right.
So use that, you know, use all those other kind of ideas. You need to embrace fear and that'll build your confidence. You need to make a plan that'll build your confidence. You need to have this positive self-talk that'll keep you going even on, you know, on these back steps and even when things aren't going correctly. You need to prioritize and execute so that you make sure you're putting out all the little fires and you're doing everything you need to do in a stepwise fashion. But then the final and most important thing, the thing that without none of these other steps, you're not going to be able to put yourself out there. You need to go do it. You need to go get some.
And bust them.
Bust them. You need to bust them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's all about just doing it and expecting to fail and expecting it not to be perfect the first time you do it. No matter how hard you prepare for it, it's not going to be perfect. But the more you do it, the second time it's going to be better than the first time. And the 10th time you do it, it's going to be better than that first time. So you just got to, like this podcast, that first episode we recorded was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't release it.
Yeah, that's how bad it was, because it's like as bad as our first published episode might be.
That was like our sixth try.
Yeah, I know.
So we should have waited four more tries.
Yeah, I mean, but hey, we just wanted to bust them. We wanted to get some.
We wanted to bust them and get some.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, it just comes down to just doing it. Like, I think a lot of people get stuck down in, you know, the traditional frameworks of how things are quote unquote supposed to work. You know, like in the previous episode when we were kind of talking about my weird life story, it was that, you know, oh, like people in order to make comfortable money and in order to have all this, you know, all these things in your life, you need to become a PhD professor. Like that's honestly what I thought. Uh-huh. And so you get bogged down in that, but because that's not actually what I wanted to do, I never even tried that hard. You know what I mean? I never went out with that kind of furious, mad spirit that like, I am going to do this. I'm going to go get some. I'm going to go, you know, whatever. Like, I never did that. But when you actually have the self-confidence and when you have kind of a prioritized plan and everything like that, it makes it immeasurably easier to just kind of believe in yourself that you can do it, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And that's when the real work starts, you know? And I mean, I guess the sixth step, which I didn't write down or anything like that, but that you've been rightfully bringing up, is that you have to just repeat as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to be willing to just keep on doing it and keep on doing it and, you know, acknowledge and accept the stuff that works and discard the rest.
Discard the rest. Acknowledge yeah. and accept. Discard the rest. That goes on a mug.
Cut it, print it, sell it.
Yep.
Perfect.
Acknowledge the best. Discard the rest. Boom. T-shirt. T-shirt.
Acknowledge the best. Discard the rest. Boom. T-shirt. You can find it in the CSS.podcast store.
Exactly. Limited edition T-shirt.
You can get them signed by Chris Scott himself.
Right. But I'll sign them in like an armpit so nobody will have so to see it.
Yeah, you don't have to have that if you don't want to.
Well, I feel this was a very informative episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's vague in the sense that, you know, you need to be able to appropriate these things to what you want, but it's also purposeful and directed enough to where, you know, you can take these steps and kind of break it down or tailor it specifically to what you want and then just fucking get after it.
Right.
That's another one.
It's just hearing, you know, thoughts and ideas of how to put yourself out there. So it's a good thing. It's a good, everybody go do it. Everybody just do it and put yourself out there. Rake them and bust them.
Break them, bust them, get some, just do it.
Acknowledge,
whatever.
Acknowledge the best and discard the rest.
Discard the rest. And I mean, that, of course, it doesn't necessarily have to be you trying to become, like, I know in this podcast, we mainly talk about creative endeavors and kind of business practices and how to use both and that kind of thing, but it can be applied to, you know, anything mm-hmm. that you want to achieve, anything that you want out of life. If you want to, like, let's say one of your goals is just to travel more. You know what I mean? Like, you intrinsically have these self-limiting beliefs like, oh, I can't afford it, or I can't make my, you know, life about that or whatever. What about this? Like, oh, what if that means that then I don't meet the right people or I'm not at home so I don't get married by the time I'm 30? Like, that's all negative self-talk. You replace that with positive self-talk. You figure out a way that you can get paid while you're traveling or something like that. And then you make a stepwise plan, you prioritize and execute, and boom, there you go. Like, then you just go do it. You know, it can be applied in a measurable amount of ways, but these are kind of just purposefully vague strategies such that you can apply it to whatever you want to do. Thank you for listening to Creativize, Strategize, and Synergize. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe, share, and leave a rating. We'd really appreciate it. You can find Chris on social media using the handle @ElephantScout. You can find me with @AtishMazish. And finally, you can follow the podcast on Twitter with @CSSPodcast. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at podcast@cscottcreate.com. Thank you so much.